We've been doing this this sermon series called Name Above All Names, and we've been thinking about what it means to know God's name, how we're drawn into a personal relationship by that, how we have a refined sense of God's character because of that, and we always need calibration on who God is over and over again, drawing our hearts into alignment with His. And that's really the third thing that we've been traveling with is, now that we know His name, now that He's revealed His character to us, what does that mean for us to get to reflect His character into creation as His children? So we thought this would be perfect, actually, to sort of situate our hearing from the Cambodia team. I want to actually invite the Cambodia team to come on up, and I will not stand right in front of them once they get up here. I hope it's okay with everybody that I slide over to the side. But actually, the way we wanted to start as the Cambodia team comes up is we wanted to just hear a little bit, maybe even from the kids in the room. When we travel to Cambodia, when our teams travel to Cambodia, a lot of who we're engaging with is the youth of Cambodia. In fact, it's almost impossible not to. At least about a decade ago, last time I checked, the average age of a Cambodian citizen was 16 years old. And part of that's because of the difficulties the country has faced, which is still playing out generationally for them. But it's also true because of who we engage. We engage with a ministry called Asia's Hope, which is an orphan ministry. And this church specifically at this point has helped to raise and protect and rescue and launch over 30 children. And this team visited them. And another thing that our teams have typically done is connect with a ministry called Hard Places. And Hard Places specifically goes into difficult neighborhoods in Phnom Penh and connects with the kids there, some of whom essentially are on their own. I might say many of whom are on their own. And so they go into the hard places and they connect through meals, through spending time together, sometimes really just enjoying one another's company. And one more thing that this team did that has been happening for 7 or 8 years now is they connected with a particular church. It's called New Life Church. And this church is led by very young people, much like we were this morning. They are led by high schoolers a lot of times. And that's true of their central campus in the big city of Phnom Penh, but it's also maybe even more true outside the city in a province called Chabar Mon. And as the crow flies, Chabar Mon is not that far away, but the crow doesn't fly very quickly on the roads of Cambodia. So it takes a little while to get there, and the team met them where they were, spent time with the very young leadership of that church. And so it's really cool to mirror that with the fact that we have the kids in here with us today. And I maybe haven't done a great job of setting this up, but I actually am wondering if maybe some of the kids in the room have any questions about what it's like to be in Cambodia. So I'm going to let you think about that for just a second. If you have a question about what life is like in Cambodia or what the daily life of even someone traveling to Cambodia might look like, I'm sure the team would love to answer that. But as you're thinking about those questions, I'm going to sort of let them introduce themselves so that you have just a second to think like, yeah, maybe I do have a question about how many bugs you might eat if you were on a trip to Cambodia. So Pastor Brian, why don't you get us started?
Yeah, good morning. It's great to be here. Still don't really know what time zone I am or what day of the week it is, but I assume it's Friday since we're all here.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I'm Brian. It's so good to be back.
It's always Friday somewhere, Brian. That's right. That's what they say, right?
Hi, I'm Lisa, and this was my second trip to Cambodia, and it was just transformational.
Beautiful.
Good morning. I'm Amber Ewan, and this is my first time to Cambodia, but I can definitely see myself going back because it was truly amazing.
My name's Melissa Baz, and this was my fifth time to Cambodia. So what did you say? I need to get dual citizenship?
Yeah, she's about ready for dual citizenship. That's right. She's applying this fall, so you could be praying for Melissa and her efforts to become a Cambodian citizenship. She's very close, just based on residency alone. She's getting there. So we're so glad you go so often and serve so well.
This trip was absolutely amazing, life-changing, and our Holy Spirits were all totally moved and fed. It was
Amen.
Unbelievable.
Hi, my name is Ava. This was also my first time going, and the trip was definitely life-changing. Yeah. And I would love to go back.
Oh, that's so good to hear.
Hi, my name is Caitlin. Oh, this was my second trip to Cambodia, and every time is the adventure of a lifetime, so I also hope to return.
Yeah, I like to hear that. I think there's so many times where people think Christianity might put a lid on the adventures of life, but I have found that it opens them up exponentially. Following God is a great adventure. It really is. Okay, the time has come, and if we hear crickets, that's totally fine. Also delicious. Mr. James Murray actually has a microphone, and if a child in the room, big or small, you know, high school graduate or not, if a child in the room just has a question about maybe what life is like in Cambodia, the insight the team might have to that, or just the differences that might be felt in following God on the other side of the world, if you are ready with a question, I would love for you to raise your hand. Oh, that's great. JJ has a question.
What kind of food did they eat?
That's a great question. Does anybody particularly want to field what kind of food they're eating in Cambodia right now, our brothers and sisters over there?
I think Caitlin should answer because she's the most adventurous eater on the
Yes,
team.
Caitlin has made quite a reputation for herself.
I personally think they have really great food. I don't know, there's only one thing that I've ever tried there that I haven't really liked. But in general, there's a lot of seafood, there's a lot of chicken, a lot of beef, a lot of rice. I think that sometimes you think you go to a different place and the food is very different from what we would expect, but we have a lot of things that we might consider just like kind of normal or mainstream. But then there are things on the menu sometimes that you read and you're not quite sure what it is, it would be really different. One restaurant we went to had like boiled vein, and we weren't quite sure what that was.
Did you try the boiled vein?
We did not try the boiled vein. We ordered as like a group and had a lot of
opportunity lost. Okay.
But the only thing I've ever tried that I haven't liked is anything with a fruit called durian in it last year. So some people apparently know what it is. I didn't know what it was when I tried it for the first time, but ordered some durian ice cream. And after ordering it, learned that durians are a fruit that are so stinky that they're outlawed on public transit and taste like rotten eggs.
Now, I have a follow-up question, Caitlin.
I need to follow up on that. So, Caitlin, you did not like durian last year. I remember
12 months ago.
Durian blizzard.
Yes.
How many times did you have it on our trip this year?
Twice.
Is this like a third time's the charm?
It was, yes, because the third time was actually really good. We tried durian cake, and
cake.
It was finally good.
Let them eat cake.
Latte was nasty.
That's beautiful.
They also have delicious pizza, too.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. All kinds of pizza. And those who have been to Cambodia know what I'm talking about. Yes, we do have a question in the back, Mr. James, and up here, too. I would just say about the food, JJ, the first time I went to Cambodia was an extended trip. It was over a month, and the first thing my father said when I got off the plane was, well, you didn't lose any weight. So we did. I'm not even joking. It's totally true, 100% true. So we eat really, really well, and man, is it so wonderful to share a meal with our friends in Cambodia at the homes, in their homes. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Yes, sir.
What,
Mr. Fancher.
Like, what bugs did you see that you were, like, allowed to
edible,
eat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you might want to shy away from some, but others are totally fair game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wants to field the question there?
Well, they eat tarantulas, which...
Which would normally be on the list of shying away, I would think.
Yeah, sound disgusting. I don't know that... Have any of us had them? No, but they all said it tastes like chicken, so
chicken.
I don't know.
That speaks to the size of the tarantula, I guess.
None of us really tried any bugs on this trip, but I've been on trips where there have been crickets, tarantulas. What were those called? Tree ants.
Tree ants, oh yeah.
Sauteed in vegetables with noodles. What else? We stopped at that one place. There were bowls, massive bowls, just full of all different kinds of sauteed bugs.
Yeah.
But we didn't go by that rest stop this time.
Okay, yeah. I should say, it just speaks to just the wonderful global differences of all God's children. And cultural differences are to be celebrated in a lot of ways, because there's no one culture that could ever fully bear the weight of God's glory on its own. We need all of our brothers and sisters to begin to scratch the surface of how glorious God is. And so that's one of the things that happens when you travel, is you start to be recalibrated that way and say, wait a second. There is so much for me to learn from God's children over here. And I know that the team feels that way, for sure. Question in the back, Mr. Murray. I can't quite see. Is that a Strayer family?
What kind of weather was it?
Weather. Thank you. Great question.
Hot. Really, really hot. You know, I would say we had a couple of days where it was actually not quite as warm as I've experienced it on past trips, but the thing that never changes about Cambodia is it's typically in the 90s, but the humidity is, you can't measure it. You just really can't measure it. It's the best word to describe it is it feels oppressive. Like you'll walk out of an air-conditioned place and it just takes your breath away. It's just so hot, beautiful but hot.
Yeah, and part of that is connected to the idea that it's rainy season right now. And so I don't know what you experienced this particular time, but a lot of times it'll be a pretty hard afternoon downpour, and it's amazing to see them just continue on with life. The streets might flood for an hour or so, and it just doesn't stop them. And it's wonderful, actually, to see that indomitable spirit. There's actually times of year where it's a little more dry. If you went in February, it would be just not as humid, maybe still pretty warm, but not nearly as humid in other times of the year. Mr. Ransom, we have a question. Oh, another one back in the back first. Yes, thank you.
Do they speak English, or what language do they speak?
Wonderful question. Thank you for asking that.
So the language in Cambodia is called Kumai. And so everyone there speaks Kumai, but then a lot of the people there also do speak at least a little bit of English. But we had a lot of help from an interpreter named Tita, and she said she was actually going to be watching today, so shout out to Tita. She was awesome, and she helped us to be able to translate things because we collectively don't know very much Kumai at all. And some people speak a lot of English, but some people don't, so we had a lot of help.
That's great. Yeah, if you see the word Khmer using English letters, it'll be K-H-M-E-R. So some of you who have been through history classes a little bit further on the line in school might have heard of, for instance, the Khmer Rouge. That's that same word. It's just pronounced Khmer when taking on the considerations of the local dialects and everything. Yeah. Another one in the back. That's great.
Do they wear, like, certain clothes?
What kind of clothing could you expect to see if you were walking the streets of Phnom Penh or in the provinces?
So one thing I found surprising was how many people wear jeans because it is so hot and humid. They generally wear a lot of pants, some skirts, you know, t-shirts, a lot of the same kind of clothing that you'd see here. But I was just surprised at how many people were wearing jeans when it was so hot and humid. All of us wore pants that were like lighter and looser, a little bit more flowy. And they have a lot of shirts that have English on it that they buy them at the market. And I don't know that they always know what the English says. And sometimes it's interesting translation. So it's fun to read their t-shirts.
Yeah. That's great. I'm sorry. Where's Mr. James now? Over here. Okay.
How long does it take to get there?
so long. You want to take this one, Ava? How long did it take you?
Forever. It was like
forever.
It felt
I think
like
that's
days.
Probably all you need to know.
I don't really know. The longest flight was like 15 hours. The shortest flight was about like 45 minutes to an hour. But with all the labors, it took like, what, 30 hours?
30 hours, yeah.
36 hours to get there or to get home.
Yeah, you just get to know yourself really well. And you get to know each other really well. So it's really a blessing that it takes that long.
Why did the flight take so long?
That is a great question.
Yeah, where is science when you need it?
Because we're flying to the other side of the world.
Did you guys go actually up and over the globe this time?
Yeah, we go up and over above Alaska, and then come back down into Seoul, Korea.
Yeah.
We don't go straight out. We do like a big curve.
Which is interesting science in and of itself. You get to do a little geometry thinking about the globe and the way the trade winds blow. And it's actually, you should ask your science teachers next year, the first day of school, I think it's probably the first thing you should ask them. Do we have a Hooper?
What does the language sound like?
Oh, that's hard to represent. Do you want to say hello to us, Amber? Yeah. Or?
Oh, I actually didn't learn hello. We learned thank you, and we learned how to count.
Let's hear it.
So to say thank you, it's akun, and counting is mui, bi, bai, bun, pram. That's 1 through 5 anyway. And then they just add on, so it's like pram mui, pram bi, and so once you learn the first 5, then you can keep going.
This is great. Thank you guys so much for questions. Maybe we have time for one more, and this from a big kid this time. That's great.
What was a highlight of the trip?
Oh, good question. And that might come out a little bit as we go, but let's hear maybe just a first impression.
So, Kim, we'll meet for coffee or dinner, and I'll catch you up on that. There was just...
That sounds like a plural highlight to
me. Yeah. Just there's just too many, and I've been, like, watching the pictures, like, as we've been doing the Q&A, and there were just so many remarkable, moving moments, just... hour after hour.
Yeah. It's great that Lisa said she'll have a chance to follow up. And I actually think, kids, if you had a question that you didn't get to ask, it would be really great maybe even just to ask them after the service. Maybe your mom or dad or someone can help you connect with the team, because I know that they would love so much to continue talking about their trip. That's the truth of it. One of the things that's very true is there's something about telling the story that presses the story more fully and deeply into your heart. And so coming home is actually a very important part of the journey in itself. And maybe you're not fully home again and not fully yourself again until you're telling that story. God has designed us to be storytellers. You can tell everywhere you look. Just look at the box office numbers. Just look at the bestseller list and contemplate those numbers and realize human beings are storytellers. And this is exactly what God intended for us to be telling our story as it's situated in the story. And that's actually what we wanted to do today. Just hear from the team in this specific vein as storytellers, reflecting the name of God, the character of God, and how they found themselves coming to life in the life-giving Spirit of God. And so they prepared some thoughts, and I'm just going to kind of ask them some questions as we go here. And this first question is meant to sort of situate us in this sermon series that we've been doing, Name Above All Names. There are names that we're going to do in the next couple of weeks, but so far we've been introduced a little bit to the name Yahweh, this personal name of God, El-Roi or El-Roi. And El Shaddai, the names of God. And so what I asked the team maybe to think about a little bit as they traveled, and Pastor Brian's an expert in helping people to process what they're experiencing, I asked them to think about what name or maybe characteristic of God did they experience maybe more fully than they have in their lives up to this point because of the trip. What insights did they gain on the names and character of God? And a couple of team members actually have been thinking about this one specifically. So I think our friend Melissa, who is, due to the time difference, going to rely a little bit on her notebook and the processing she's already done. But just tell us, Melissa, is there something about the character of God or names of God that you experienced more fully on the trip?
Definitely, definitely. God's love was just powerful. And I was reading the Bible says that love comes from God, and that those who receive his son, Jesus, as their Savior can live as he does through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we were so moved by the Holy Spirit when we were there, just every one of us and the people we met praying over them, believers, non-believers, just bringing out emotion through us all. It was incredible to see God's love at work. And love is the core aspect of God's character. The Bible makes it clear that God is love in 1 John 4:8. We felt his love, we were acknowledged and inspired by all his qualities there in Cambodia. It was just amazing, the unconditional love that he had for us all. So,
amen. Yeah, it is
beautiful.
It's sometimes lost on us here in 2024 how revolutionary it is to say God is love. I can read the history books and think about how cultures and people in the past would have yearned to hear such a truth, that God is love. And it's beautiful every time you get to experience it. Ava, did you have some thoughts about God's character as you experienced it? This is not yours. What aspect of God's character was more evident to you during the trip?
For me, what was more evident to me was the love and compassion of God. I saw it everywhere we went. At hard places, I saw it in like the team members and the staff members just welcoming us into their place of work with open hands, with questions we had, with translating. It was just awesome to see them. And then at New Life, I felt like I made connections that felt like I know them. I had known them for my whole entire life, which was just crazy to me because I just met them, but it was so deeply moving. And then with Asia's Hope, I mean, I felt the love as soon as I saw them at the airport. Like, they knew my name, they wanted to hug me, they wanted to help me, and it stayed like that throughout the entire trip. Every time I saw them, they were open hands to me, loving on me, and it just felt so wonderful and so moving.
That is beautiful. One of the things the Cambodian church has to teach us is about the hospitality of God. It is natural to them, and we have every reason to up and pay attention to the hospitality of God seen through our Cambodian sisters and brothers. It's beautiful. It's quite beautiful. Transitioning a little bit towards specific names, and obviously we're still traveling through this sermon series, but we've been trying to get at this wondrous gift that we have to know the names of God as seen in Scripture, as revealed by God himself. And so I asked the team, is there a particular name for God that you resonated with during your days in Cambodia? Is there any name of God that was recurrent in your thought and prayer life while you were on the ground in Cambodia? And in preparation, maybe I should say this before even answering this question. This team is one of the most well-prepared teams I've ever seen. I'm only tangentially related to their preparation, but their diligence, their effort level, their excellence in preparation was a blessing to see even before they took off for Cambodia. And that's a testament to their hearts and the way that they were good soil for the Spirit of God. The seeds that God intended to plant was going to go deeply into their hearts because of the way they had been preparing the soil for those truths. So Amber, I wondered if you might answer this question for us when it comes to a name of God that you resonated with.
Yeah. A name of God that has stuck with me since I learned it back in college is Jehovah Jireh. And that means the Lord will provide. It comes from Genesis 22 when God has asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, and they go up to the mountain, and Abraham, out of obedience, is ready to sacrifice his son. And then at the last minute, God provides a ram for the sacrifice and saves Isaac. And in that moment, Abraham builds an altar to God, and he calls him Jehovah Jireh because God will provide. What I think about the trip is that our first 2 days were spent at hard places, and that was emotionally hard for us to just see these children who are in desperate need. And it was beautiful to be able to spend time with them, but it was also emotionally difficult. And then on our third day, we went to New Life Fellowship, to the church, and I met a boy there whose name was Jireh, and that just felt like it was God saying, I will provide. And he brought so much joy. We got to spend a lot of time with him. He was the pastor's nephew. And he spoke English like he could move to America right now. This kid had so much English. And he was just hilarious. So I thought about the way that God just brought him into our path. And then I started to reflect more and more on the different ways in which God provided for the trip. As you mentioned, Adam, just providing us with the opportunity to go, the financial support to go, all the preparation work that went into it. And then I thought about the ways that God used the staff at Hard Places to provide help and support and nurturing for the kids who desperately need it. And New Life Fellowship Church has gone through some of the same post-pandemic pains that Vista has. The church building that they had been meeting in, they kind of lost the lease on that as they saw their numbers dwindle through the pandemic. But God has provided a new building for them, just like he's provided a new building for us. And he's rebuilding their church, just the way I see him rebuilding our church. And then I think about the way that he's provided for the kids at Asia's Hope, just giving them this loving home, giving them parents who love and support them and are teaching them the love of Jesus. And in so many ways, he provided for us through this trip, whether it was strength on hard days or grace with each other as we went through the trip. And so for me, definitely Jehovah Jireh was a name that resonated.
Amen. Yeah, I wanted to piggyback off of your talking about the provision for God's children seen through Asia's Hope. One thing that we want to make sure you know is that actually there are children who are new to the home, actually. That was true a couple of years ago, and just this last spring, a few new children have been brought into the family at Prekang 3, and that is 100% because of you guys. I hope that you understand and are encouraged by the number of things that God is doing through you, through your gifts, through your talents, through your time, and through your effort. He's literally rescuing people through you. That's beautiful. So thank you for bringing that up, Amber. Ms. Lisa, did you have any thoughts on this question?
I do, and I apologize. I have it on my phone.
It's okay.
I want to make sure I stay on point. But Elroy, the God who sees me, and that's a name that has resonated so deeply with me from the time first time that I read the story of Hagar, because I could see myself through her. Even though I was not seeking God for many years, he was always faithful. He always saw me and my family. So that really stuck with me. And just to kind of go off point here a second, I just want to thank the kids, like, for the worship. That was wonderful. And the songs that were picked, I was making notes on my phone. It's so just... it was just on point for what we saw. Like, I had lyrics, up from the ashes, hope will arise, light in the darkness, open my eyes and let me see. I experienced all of that from our journey from start to finish, so thank you, kids. But anyways, back to Elroy. Takasha really put that in the forefront of my mind 2 weeks ago, one day before we left for Cambodia, and she talked about how Elroy, the God who protects us, is because he sees us. The God provides for us because he sees us. So this really planted the seed for me for the trip, and I saw Elroy all throughout the trip, literally from start to finish. And I also witnessed how the God who sees wove a thread to intertwine us with all of the people we interacted with to see and be seen. So I have so many examples, and I would love to share them with all of you, but I just have a few that I have time to go through. So I saw Elroy through Pastor Sari and his team at Hard Places working to minister out to the folks in Shabar Mon, delivering. We went with them and delivered meals with them and witnessed him just like sharing the gospel with them. I saw Elroy through Pastor Sari as he cared for the sheep that God has given him. I saw Elroy through Panya and his team at Hard Places working to protect the most vulnerable from being swept into trafficking. But both Panya and Pastor Sari reiterated their gratitude to us for taking the time to spend time with them. So then I saw God working through us by sending them that we saw God saw them by sending us. So there are so many ways to be seen, but there is a real powerful impact to just simply see someone face to face and listening well. And this was all over our time at Pray King. The kids from PE3 welcomed us at the airport in Phnom Penh. And one of the first people I saw was Radha. She's the house mother. And she just had tears streaming down her face. So did I. And she knows that we see her. We see the work God is doing through her and through Sarun to raise these children. These two parents are the epitome of loving sacrificially. We witness this over and over with the impact they have on the kids. And one of the most moving experiences for me on the trip was worship service at Pray King. I had a unique vantage point because I was sitting further back, so all of the kids were either in front of me or next to me, and I saw the kids worship and praising God through song, and the girl sitting next to me opened that tiny little hand up, and the money that she had of her own, she placed in the offering. That it was just so incredible to witness that. I saw Elroy through our driver playing with the kids at PE3. I saw Elroy through our amazing translator, Tita, all throughout the trip, whether we were at Hard Places, New Life, or Pray King. It was just a pure joy to witness God working through her. And I saw Elroy through every single member of our team over and over and over again. And God saw us, protecting and guiding every step of the way. We were seen by the love and hospitality we received throughout our journey, and you all saw us through all of your prayers, so I thank you for that. And just one last example is Timotei is one of the kids at Pray King. He's now at university. He was part of the greeting at the airport. He hugged me and asked, "Lisa, do you remember my name?" And I replied, "Of course." I'm sorry. He hugged me and asked, "Lisa, do you remember me?" And I replied, "Of course I do." And then he would quickly ask, "What's my name?" And I said, "Timotei." He lit up with a huge smile. He was seen. I had remembered his name. So I still have so much left to process and dots to connect from the trip. But one thing is clear, that I need to lean in and to really listen well for God's voice and how he can use me to truly, truly see the people he places in front of me.
Amen. That's a really good transition, actually, to the next couple of questions. Comes to knowing ourselves and our role, our privileged role in God's kingdom. John Calvin, at the very beginning of his long treatment of Christian doctrines called the Institutes of the Christian Religion, the first thing he says is, listen, if you'd like to know yourself, you need to get to know God. And in getting to know God, you will come to know yourself better. Those are the first two things he says. And so I wondered with the team maybe what it is that they may come to know about themselves and who God has designed them to be. We use the metaphor of coming to know your own name a bit more fully. And so the team was thinking about that and processing it while they were traveling as well. And I think Caitlin has prepared a couple of thoughts about what she learned about herself and who God has designed her to be.
Yeah, so one aspect of our identity in Christ that's always been difficult for me to comprehend or believe is that we are loved, period. Not loved because of anything, not loved if we do something, just loved, period. And that's something that we see exemplified in Cambodia just in waves. And like Lisa said, I could give a million examples, but just a couple that come to mind. Our pastor Sari at New Life Church at one point was talking to our group, and he said something to the tune of, just your faces are gifts. like you are special to us just because, not because of anything you've done, just because you are here. And that's very humbling because throughout our time there, the Cambodian people tell us thank you again and again and again, but we feel so grateful to them because they are so hospitable and they are so kind to us, and we feel like they give us so much, and so for them to say thank you to us is very humbling. And for Pastor Sari to say, just your faces are gifts, kind of shows me that you are loved, period, not loved because of anything you've done or because of, like, because if you do something. And then the other really big example is the kids at Asia's Hope. As soon as you pull up in the van and open the door, there is a chorus of voices calling you either sister or mommy or brother or daddy, and they just love you right away. They grab your hand, they hug you. One time, one of the girls grabbed my hand and led me into like the common area at the home, where they have hung up on the wall the picture that Vista has posted of the Cambodia team that's going. And she like pointed to me and like pointed to me in the picture, and that like really took me kind of took me by surprise. And I realized like this little girl, like I did nothing to deserve her love, her affection, but she knew that I was coming and was like waiting for me. And this idea of like being loved by someone before you even know them or have even done anything is such a perfect exemplification of God's love for us that I don't really have words for it, as you can see. So just this idea of being loved, period, is something that I think God shows us through Cambodia just time and time again.
Thank you, Caitlin. If I'm reading scripture right, sounds like this is the first thing God wants us to know. If I'm reading scripture right, it sounds like this is the thing that changes everything, to know that you are loved. Nothing can be the same afterwards. Melissa, did you have a couple of thoughts about this question?
Well, I looked up, you're wanting us to maybe learn our name and our identity. So with that, I knew my name, Melissa, means honeybee, but I...
This is good. This is very good.
It's Greek for honeybee, but I decided to look a little further into the Bible, and the Bible mentions honey and bees more than 60 times, which just kind of blew me away. Honey is a symbol to convey God's love and blessings, strength, wisdom, and more. And I thought that was just really moving, and it's kind of what happens with us when we're in Cambodia in life and what we are giving too. This other word that kept resonating is a word, it's a Hebrew word, and it's an older word, but it's chesed, or chesed if you're American and you don't have that little roll. But it was beautiful. It's a way to be. It's an obedience. It's to step out of your comfort zone and to reach out and to just give and give to others. And that's what you do when you're in Cambodia. You are there to love on these people, to give yourself, to shine God's light, to be his light. And what Caitlin said, you know, we're going there thinking, we're giving them this great gift and being there and being loved, and we're the ones that really truly receive this gift. We go there and we are just so important to these people and to these children at Prekking 3. Our pictures are everywhere. They're beside their beds. They are so in love with us, and we fall in love with them also. But just reaching out and having this experience is just amazing. It is life-changing. It can be tough sometimes and dark, dark places, but God provides strength and the light and mercy through it all. And we are just so changed and moved. If we're walking on the streets, you know, by the river, are in the slums, providing support, and what we gain is just amazing. It is an incredible, incredible experience. So.
Yeah, I think chesed is a perfect word for it. God's loving kindness and the way that he has used you to express his loving kindness is obvious to all of us around you. I think if we didn't know your name, we would come up with Melissa if we knew that it meant honeybee. For sure. We are running short on time, but I wanted to hear just a couple of more thoughts. We have a couple of questions left here, and maybe if you could just give us the heart of your answer. We need to hear from Pastor Brian here I asked them, because what we're understanding as we are made in God's image, this means that we are the angled mirror of creation. We reflect his character into creation, and we reflect all of the praise and worship back to where it belongs. This is what it means to be the angled mirror, or the imago Dei, the image bearers. And I asked the team to think about, as a team, how did you get to do this? How did you have the opportunity to reflect God's character into creation? And I think Pastor Brian has some thoughts prepared. I'm sorry, you might have been second on the list, but.
No, you're fine, Adam. So, you know, when we look at scripture, we see God's character described with words like love, compassion, mercy, self-sacrifice, presence, and relational. And it would take me hours, literally hours, to tell you about all of the ways that I've seen this team especially reflect God's character over the last 2 weeks. It really comes down to two things when you travel to Cambodia, or really any place like that that's outside of your comfort zone. You have to be willing to reflect God to one another. You know, you're traveling halfway around the world. Your days are upside down because of the time difference. You're exhausted. Your body starts doing weird things. You're not sleeping like you're accustomed to, and it's hot. So it makes people a little cranky. It really does. So you have to be really sensitive to God's spirit, and you have to keep really short accounts with one another. And as the team finds, you leave with an entire plan of what your trip is going to look like day by day. And when you get on the ground, it changes. Everything changes. So you have to be really flexible. And that this team was amazing. This team reflected God's character. I'm not joking when I say every minute of every hour of every day, not only with each other, but with those who we came in contact with. Melissa said it so well. Those we came in contact with weren't looking for us to provide anything outside of love, compassion, mercy, and presence. And every place we went, every person we came in contact with, this team reflected God's characters in God's character in ways you can't put into words. It's beyond humbling the way this team responded to God, the way the team, the way the Spirit moved in and through them. You really can't put into words. Just incredible to see God working through them.
Yeah. Encouraging, I'm sure. Fuel for the journey, I'm sure. Amber, did you have a thought or two about this one?
Yeah, so when I was thinking about this question, a story came to mind, and the story came first, and then the characteristic of God came next. I knew when we were traveling to Cambodia that we were going to be working with Hard Places and New Life and Asia's Hope. But an unexpected person that I think our team had an impact on was our translator. She's only been working for the translation company for a few months. And while she's a believer, she has things in her past that she was willing to share with us. And she also shared that it was unlike her to share these kinds of things. And I could tell from early on that God brought her and our team together for a reason and a purpose. And as I started to think through that, and what characteristic of God we must have been displaying to her, I was thinking about God's goodness. He has a good plan, so that even when things are difficult, we can always think, what might the good be in this situation? And I think that she felt safe with our team because she knew that we loved her unconditionally, and she knew that we were looking out for her good, and we wanted good to happen for her. And I think because of that, she felt safe with us. She felt comfortable to share her heart with us. And she allowed herself to be open to the transforming work of God as he continues to just move in her life. And I was not expecting that on the trip. Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah, the God ordering our paths is astounding. And to think that he is down to the details on who is taking the translation responsibilities on the trip, that's powerful. We have just one last question, and we actually just want to hear from Ava, if that's okay, on this last question. The question is not so much about a name of God exactly, but maybe it counts, more of a title, God as Father, God as Abba. And this is, of course, how Jesus teaches us to pray. When he teaches us to pray our Father, a prayer that is meant to be situated in community and experienced intimately and personally. So I would love to hear Ava's thoughts as she traveled into places that are sometimes less organized around the nuclear family than we might expect in our own societies. Based on some of the things that have happened in Cambodia and the very difficult things that they've gone through, where families have been even targeted, to be honest, historically in Cambodia. With that, going into a very young leadership core at New Life Church, or into the streets of Phnom Penh with hard places, or into the family room of Asia's Hope at Prek Ang 3, what does it mean that God is Father to us?
For me to say and know that God is Father gives me like a sense of family. And it starts with him, obviously. And to know that we have a calm, protective, and loving Father just means so much to me. But the other half of it is down here on Earth with me, the team, and everyone we interacted with and connected with. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and to me that really just like completed the circle of family, and yeah.
That's beautiful. It's a very, very powerful metaphor that God chose to use to give us insight into his vision for what it will mean to be his people, to be his family. And Jesus tells us that the Father is waiting outside the gates for any of us that may have wandered off. It doesn't matter what distance or direction you're coming from. He's the running Father. He's lifting up his hem so he can run more quickly to you, I promise you. And I'm sure that the Cambodia team experienced that. While there is so much more to say and many coffees to be had, and I hope that you have the opportunity to sit down over coffee, maybe even durian coffee with Caitlin, if you have that chance, continue to ask them to tell you the stories, so that we could see God more clearly, that we could see him together, you and I, and look full on his wonderful face, as it were. But for the time being, I would love to bless you as you go. Would you stand? I'd love to bless you, and maybe we could sing the doxology together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Bless you, family. Bless you as you go. Amen.